Jeff Bezos didn't invent the internet, but he built a massively successful company because he understood how to wield the power of the internet. And that's where I think AI is going to, where multiple people will actually build massive companies that will just change the way we do things using this tech.
After calling up the website smartynames.com this week, I typed in a description for a business idea.
Drone photography business in the greater Seattle area.
Like lots of people, I've been through the agonizing process of brainstorming business and project names and trying to find appropriate and available web domains to match. So it was fascinating when, a few seconds later, Smarty Names produced a list of available domains that could work. They ranged from the snappy but generic aeropixseattle.com to the way too long skytechimagingseattle.com. But in the middle of the list, I found my favorite, upaboveseattle.com. After a few clicks and a modest registration fee, that domain was mine. Smarty Names is the brainchild of Kirill Zubovsky, an engineer, startup founder, and tech consultant. He created the domain and business name finder using tools including the GPT-3 natural language processing technology. That's, of course, created by ChatGPT maker OpenAI, which this week announced a new investment from its partner, Microsoft. After launching in early December with a post on Hacker News, Smarty Names has generated suggestions for more than 1 million domain names, Zubovsky said in a blog post this week. He has already expanded beyond traditional .com domains, and he's planning a larger suite of tools to help businesses get online. It's a prime example of the creative energy that some startup leaders and tech veterans believe generative AI will increasingly unlock for businesses and entrepreneurs. Zubovsky is clearly one of those believers. I spoke with him in December, a couple weeks after he launched Smarty Names. First off, can you pronounce your name for me and give me the thumbnail sketch, who you are and what your career's been?
Oh dear, so much pressure. Well, you pronounce this Kirill Zubovsky with a rolling R. Completely unemployable, trying not to describe self as an entrepreneur. You know, had a startup in the past that didn't quite work out, then did various consulting gigs, raised some children, where my wife and I specifically decided that we want to spend time raising children, you know, as opposed to working. So like we minimized working as much as we could. Then ended up in Colorado, loved it, and opened a co-working space there with our friend from Y Combinator. And so, you know, I've been dabbling with all kinds of tech and what I find interesting over the last couple of years. And it seems like finally the time has come to where AI is taking off. I really like it. My kids are old enough where I don't have to be around them all the time. And, you know, it's a perfect storm where all of a sudden I can get stuff done.
Remind me, so you were in Seattle for a while. Are you still based in Seattle?
I mean, I'm still technically based in Seattle, yes. But since COVID, we kind of started traveling, which was really nice. It pushed us out of our comfort zone. You know, we were really used to Seattle. Well, technically, we were in Bellevue, but we were very familiar with everything. And then we started traveling when the world changed and looking around. And so now I'm spending some time in Seattle and some time in Colorado for the co-working space. We'll see, you know, we'll see where it brings us. Like right now I'm talking to you from Utah on the way to California, you know, living in a van. And so I've been quite enjoying this van life.
And how many kids do you have traveling with you?
I have two. So they're 5 and 7. And we also have two pets. We have an old geriatric cat and a brand new puppy. And we're currently all together in a short sprinter van. So it gets exciting. Yeah.
That's crazy. Recently on the GeekWire podcast, I got a chance to talk with Ben Gilbert of Pioneer Square Labs. And one thing he said was that he really feels like generative AI and ChatGPT, as an example of that, and GPT-3, GPT-3.5, are what he called an app store moment where entrepreneurs and developers look at a platform and go, whoa, there is opportunity there. And if I understand correctly, that describes the thought process you've been going through and the actions you've been taking Tell us about your journey in AI over the past few months.
You know, I think Ben's right. App Store moment, I mean, obviously App Store is something that happened once, right? So it's hard to compare to that one point in time. But I think AI has been coming along nicely for the last 10 years. But for me personally, up until maybe 6 months ago, there was not enough development where I could say, wow, it's really doing something really useful, something I can take good advantage of, right? So if you were highly technical and you wanted to work in the generative AI like mechanics, then it was a good time. But now I think AI is finally around where you can create applications for it. And it's really easy and it's really cheap. And the price is going to keep dropping. And that's probably why it's the moment where so many people are piling on. If you talk to venture capitalists and startup founders, they'll tell you, you know, it's also a good time because everyone's going to get excited about this and there's going to be a lot of money. There's going to be a lot of movement. There's going to be acquisitions. It's easy, right? You don't have to sell the technology. You don't have to sell what it is. You can just sell your product now.
The problem that you're solving with Smarty Names is something that I've been through, that a lot of people have been through. Tell us about this application of AI.
So Smarty Names is a domain and business name finder that uses AI to find interesting domains for you that you wouldn't otherwise think about. So you can go there and describe your name, like you can describe your business. You can say that, you know, we're working on a technology publication that's based in Seattle, that's covering this, that, and the other, and explain what it is that you do, and it will try to find names for you. And the reason it's really cool and works really great, and I mean, users have told me that it's one of the first, you know, domain finders that actually works in today's context, is because you don't have to guess what names you want to find. You don't have to sit there and try to, you know, come up with words that match what you're trying to do. The AI will do it for you. So it's really easy and really fluid. And so far, the response has been outstanding. I published it on Hacker News and it stayed there for the whole day. A bunch of users generated 220,000 domain names in one day using the tool. I didn't make any money because I didn't have any referral links on it in that day. But, you know, the general idea behind the business that you can come find the name that you like. And then when you buy it, I get paid a little bit. It's an example of using AI for something that hasn't been done before. It's really useful. It's fairly fast, right? And I think that's the example of what AI is going to do for us in the next year or two, where all of these little changes are really going to boost how we do business.
How did you come up with the idea?
That's a good question. It's been a whole 2 weeks ago. You know, it's hard to remember. I thought it was interesting. I've been playing with various AI things maybe for the last 6 months, and I have a couple other products that have been using AI, you know, for 2 or 3 years already, but they were basic. But really what I wanted to do is to say, well, what can I build really quickly that's going to be really useful and I think people already want? And that's me changing my perspective on what entrepreneurship is. Before, I would try to sort of invent things that I thought would be useful. And there's good value in it, you know, trying to figure out what people might want based on what I want. But in this particular case, I thought, well, I know people already want to do this. Let me see if I can make it 10 times better. And with the response that was overwhelming, I thought, okay, well, finally I found something that's actually, you know, people want, and I'm actually making a difference for them. So again, what's really nice here is that I don't have to sell this product to people. They play with it and they go, wow, Smarty Names is really cool, right? I found something. I've talked to a number of people who are domain junkies, so to speak, where they just buy domains for fun. I mean, I think I'm one of them. You know, sometimes you sit there and think, well, wouldn't that be a good idea? And then you just go buy a domain for that. And so those people have been playing with the tool a lot, just buying stuff because it's cool. But to answer your question, actually, you know, when, like, it didn't take long to come up with the idea. It was just like, what do we have? What's the technology? And how can I create something that would be really useful really fast?
I am one of those people. Based on a past podcast conversation, I somehow ended up with the domain name Words with Enemies, where the domain is ES, in other words, so right. Words with NMI and then .ES.
.ES,
I forget exactly. It might have been a conversation with Mike Davidson where I ended up doing that. So this is a problem that obviously a lot of people face when they're starting new businesses. How does the AI work? In other words, are you just simply plugging into an API from OpenAI?
Yes, I'm plugging into the API and I'm configuring the queries from the customers to ask for interesting domain names, right? I can't tell you sort of like how the sausage is made, but I'm translating what you're asking into something that might present interesting domains. And what you mentioned with that .es domain is actually the next iteration that I'm working on right now, where we're going to start looking for more creative domains. So right now you'd find .coms, but they might be two-word .coms. And if you want to find something shorter, and that's the interesting merge of what AI can do, and, you know, how we query it and how we translate what people want. So how do we look for .es domains where it makes sense? Or here's another example, right? Like a .net domain. It's not that popular, but what if we could teach AI what .net means, you know, as a network, as a net, like a spider net or whatnot. And then how do we pair your request for a domain with that extension in a way where it playfully makes sense? It sounds fairly trivial, right? But then I found out, and as I started looking into this, I found out that there's 1,500 different domain extensions. A couple of them aren't useful, but 1,500, right? That's a huge number. And then I talked to the domain experts, and they're actually struggling with that. So I'm solving a two-sided problem where customers really want more interesting domains. And domain experts and people who own extensions, they actually want to sell you more of those extensions. You know, things like .cat. You probably don't think of going out and buying, you know, Todd.cat, but there might be a case where that will actually come in handy. So it's on me to figure out how to help you, or like how to get enough information about your business or your project, or maybe just an idea you're having, right? And then translate it where AI can help you find that right domain for you. I think that's going to be hugely interesting, but also, you know, I'm changing my perception of like what entrepreneurship should be, because once I started looking into this problem, I thought, well, what else can I create, right? Okay, domains are great, but what's the next step? And then if you think about it, people come in to build a business or maybe even a project, right? Then what do you need next? Well, you got the domain. Now, what you probably want a website. The website should have the logo and some text on it, right? And once you got the website, maybe you want to incorporate it. And all these things that surround business making can also be leveraged with AI. And so my goal right now is to figure out what we can do with this simple AIs to make your life so much easier when you come to start a company.
Wow, interesting. As you said, you're solving the two-sided problem. You're becoming a market maker. You're matching the people who need the thing with the people who have the thing when they wouldn't have been able to find themselves before. But it's fascinating because you're also creating the technology that tells them why they should be finding each other if you're able to solve that problem.
Exactly. And actually, you asked me earlier, you know, about the App Store moment, and it just occurred to me. So the difference between AI 2 years ago and AI now, and why right now it's becoming so popular, it's because it's basically first time since the invention of the computer that we can actually talk to the computer. And it's so trivial, but it's such a massive change where, you know, the AI is actually good enough where we can ask something and it'll talk back to us, and then we can ask something again. So we can almost have we can direct a computer in a conversational style to do something. Before, you had to know about, you know, the .es domain and code it in and say, match it in some sort of way. And now you can just talk to the thing and say, well, you know, if this matches, maybe consider using that. And that's so ridiculous, just how amazing it is. and I'm not a person who gets excited about things easily. honestly, and like the last 10 years were pretty devastating, I think, because you, if you were in tech world, you had to get excited about the Web3, the crypto stuff. And for me personally, every time I heard something of crypto, I'm like, okay, I understand, but I don't care. You know, it's not interesting to me. Like, I don't think that's the future. And there was the same moment with VR where I thought, well, I really like the real world. I don't want to live in virtual reality. So I really don't want it to advance and be good because I prefer like hugging trees. But once we got to this AI moment, yeah. But, you know, with AI, I can finally see how it can get really interesting and really useful. And of course, if you, you know, if you've been on Twitter in the last couple of days, there's a lot of fear of like, oh, AI is going to destroy the world and kill everyone, that kind of stuff. But I think for every technology, you know, if you think of cars, right, like cars kill people sometimes, but in general, cars are really good and useful. And I think the same with AI, like there's just so much opportunity. And, you know, smarty names aside, which I'm super stoked about and very focused on, but I think there's going to be thousands of entrepreneurs attacking these problems right now. I wish I could clone myself and do like 10 of these things at the same time, because even think about this. I have to ask AI how to do the cloning machine, right? Hopefully it can figure
exactly.
that out.
Exactly. We'll be right back with more on the business potential of generative AI.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. A nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs? I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
So it sounds like you really see this as a true inflection point.
I hope so. Part of it, I'm really excited about what it's doing right now. How much of an inflection is hard to say. It depends on how many people come together and how much they can build. But I was thinking about it actually the other day, and I thought, you know, Jeff Bezos didn't invent the internet, but he built a massively successful company because he understood how to wield the power of the internet. And that's where I think AI is going to, where somebody is going to build massive company, or multiple people will actually build massive companies that will just change the way we do things using this tech. So yes, it is an inflection point.
Are you already seeing some meaningful revenue from this?
No, it's not meaningful enough where, you know, I want to rave about it. And quite frankly, the minute I see meaningful revenue, I'm not going to tell you because I don't want all people competing with me in this space. But I see I see a lot of interest from the users looking for domains. And I see interest from domainers trying to sell them. So I'm not particularly worried about revenue. I think I just need to run fast and build these features and make sure people get what they're asking for. Because especially the domain space, I mean, what is it, like 30 years old? Who knows? As old as the internet, right? And there's not a lot of people attacking this problem with a lot of technological advancements and, you know, tech background and actual interest to make a difference. It's been pretty stagnant for a while. So I think revenue will come once I fix the, once I solve all these problems. We know that places like Name.com, GoDaddy, Namecheap, et cetera, they're making a lot of revenue, right? So it's not really a problem to make money in this space.
But then if I understood you correctly, you're seeing this as merely step one of a larger AI-powered process that basically sets people up with the basics of what they need to start a company, domain name, website, I imagine business services beyond that. Like, how far can AI go at this point?
Well, there is no AI for everything. So how far it can go, it's in my view, it's as far as I can steer it to help us. And yes, my goal is to get to a point where you come to Smarty Names you buy a domain name, and within seconds, you have everything set up so that you can accept payments from your customers. And I think we are at the point where that's possible.
And so that means like you'd have a website, would the AI write the copy for the website and do the design and set up the payment system and wow.
It will do everything. And I think it's entirely possible with what we have right now, where all I have to do is explain to it what I need from it. And if you've played with ChatGPT, then people have done some remarkable things with that. But you can basically go back and forth and ask it questions. And sometimes the answers are somewhere between contain mistakes and plainly wrong. But, you know, that's all based on training data that it's consumed. But you can ask it further questions. For example, with code, you can say, hey, can you solve this JavaScript problem for me? You know, I'm seeing this bug. And we'll give you a code and you try and run it and you'll run into an error. But then you can ask it how to fix that error and it will give you the answer. And all it is, you just have to go through the loop enough times until you've asked enough questions to get enough answers. If you think about it, it's kind of like how we learn. You know, it's what you do when you go to college. You ask a lot of questions, you fail and try again and ask more questions. So it's super intuitive how to use it, at least to me, to address some of these problems. So yes, you know, once you tell me about your business, I just have to ask you enough questions to build you exact website that you want with just the right graphics. And it doesn't just stop there. It's product images, you know, product descriptions. It's literally everything about what you're trying to sell. So if tomorrow you decided to sell, I don't know, little horses made out of coconuts, you know, we could sell it for you. We just need to steer the eye enough to create that content.
Where do you find satisfaction and feel that you're adding value in the process when you've got an AI system doing so much of the work that humans might have done in the past?
That's a great question. Honestly, with Smarter Names, I'm finding satisfaction in everything and all day long. It's actually the first time in a long while where I'm stoked about what I'm doing. And I really want to like wake up early and stay up late because AI is doing the work, but I'm totally fine with that. I think it's better than, you know, having a bunch of people doing the work and take long hours and be tired. The fact that AI can do work in split seconds as opposed to doing it in hours, I think is incredibly valuable because I can deliver value to the end customer a lot faster. So this is really where the energy is coming from because I can iterate and then I don't have to wait. It just happens. And then for me personally also, because AI got to the point where it's so intuitive, there is no like technological barrier where you have to, you know, read the docs and build something complicated. And I don't get exhausted because I get AI to work for me.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of joked about it, I think, in one of the emails, but, you know, eventually maybe GeekWire is going to use AI as well, where you can train the AI to do work for you, where once it read the last, what is this now? 12 years of GeekWire, you know, you will be able to write articles exactly like you write articles. And so now you don't have to sit there and type out three pages. You can just give it bullet points and it will know how to expend those bullet points. It doesn't mean that you're not doing the work. You're still doing the thinking of what you want to say, at least for now. But you can see the results of your labor so much quicker.
Coming up, ways to incorporate generative AI into your life today. For people who are just looking for everyday efficiencies from AI at this point, what are the most obvious things people should be doing in their work with things like ChatGPT and other tools out there that most people are not doing today? Something that you do or things that you do as a matter of course during your days nowadays that you would recommend to other folks just for productivity?
Well, for productivity, I would definitely recommend using it to write things for them. And it sounds horrible, right? Like it takes away that human power to write. But I've experimented with that enough where I think it boosts your productivity tremendously if you can just tell it to, you know, write a 3-paragraph rejection email or something like that. And then all you have to do is tweak it. Because for most things like that, we don't need creativity. We just need time to do it. And that's where it's really good. And if people are technical, then they can go and use, you know, ChatGPT, or they can use GPT-3 Playground or build their own API. But if they're not technical, there's a lot of companies now that are creating products around it. I'm just to think of two as like Jarvis AI or Copy AI, but there's now dozens, you know, for all kinds of flavors that help you write, which I think this is going to be really helpful. I mean, I know that's like between me and my wife, if we're writing the same email, I'll take 12 seconds and I'll send it. It's going to be probably 3 spelling errors in it, but I'll just get to the point. She will sit down and spend 45 minutes writing this same email to make sure it's perfect. It is what it is. It's who we are. And, you know, it works, right? Like you eventually figure out how to work together. But in that example, you know, I could definitely use some help proofreading my emails and inserting the words I forgot to type. She could certainly speed up her process. And I think a lot of people are like us. And so this like simple AI improvements is going to really change how we do things, which is also, you know, it means you're going to write faster and maybe you're going to write less because AI is pretty succinct when you ask it to be. And that's improvement on both ends. You're going to write quicker and whoever's reading it is going to consume it quicker. So that's one. And two, I think it just makes sense now to start thinking of like, okay, AI can create content, right? In general, what do I do in my daily life that requires content and how can I plug into it? And it doesn't even mean that you're doing it for business. It could even be inspirational. Like if you want, you know, generate a picture of a ski town with lots of snow and beautiful lights. And, you know, in 2 seconds, I had a picture. I was just like, wow, that is fabulous. Well, first of all, I put it in a newsletter. So look at that. I didn't have to go before. I would go on Creative Market and I would find somebody's actual photo and I'll pay for it. And it will take me, you know, 20 minutes to find the right one. Here it's in 2 seconds. I found one that's good enough. So that's really useful productivity hack. But also, even if I didn't have a newsletter, just being able to see that as an inspiration, is this something that I wanted? It's art that I can create for myself. Or the fake news website that I mentioned that I'm running. You know, it's there's no purpose. It's just fun. It's art. It's I can create something that didn't exist really quickly and laugh about it. And I think, you know, if all of us can just laugh a little bit more because we made something with AI, why not?
You mentioned that fake news website, and we were talking about that offline. What is that, and what are the ethical implications of that?
It's called Silicone News, but it's Silicone, C-O-N-E, News, you know, play on Silicon Valley. But really, it's just a website where I can ask the AI to create me an article about something funny or exciting or something I saw in real life. And ethical implications is a really challenging, like, lawyer question. I don't know what the long term of it is. But for example, at some point, I asked my fake news website to create me an article about the collapse of FTX, the crypto exchange, right? And keep in mind, the API that it was trained on stopped its data collection in 2021. So it has no knowledge of the current events. And yet, it was able to write an article that basically predicted the current events, which is exciting. Actually, you know, since you asked where I'm taking that one, website is I'm going to have it read today's news and try to predict tomorrow's news just for fun to see what happens. Yeah. I mean, let's see what happens, you know? Isn't that like, it's entertaining.
So, hey, I got a domain name for you on that one. Nostradam.us.
Nostradamus. All right. I like it. Yeah.
You can see.
Is it something you already own? Is it just $6,000?
No, I have no idea. I have not looked it up. We better check before I publish this. All right. I'm cutting in here to say that Nostradam.us is not available on the open market. And I've since learned that this approach is called domain hacking. That's hacking in a positive sense, bringing together the domain name and extension in a creative way. And since we talked, Zubovsky has added this capability and other creative domain approaches to Smarty names. All right, here's the rest of our conversation. I do want to mention, so it's Silly Cone News, and it's sillyconenews.com. And did you use Smarty names to come up with that?
No, that one I've had for about 10 years now. I just didn't know what to do with it. Because, yeah, I have about 100 of those domains that, you know, I was like, that would be a good idea. No, it's just at some point when we were in Silicon Valley, I thought it was really silly how every day I was looking at, you know, tech publications and seeing a lot of the same things. And I thought it was amusing. So I thought one day I want something that's kind of real, but kind of cheesy. And the time has finally come. But I've tried it before, and I just don't have the energy to write so many articles every day. Now I don't have to.
Wow. Yeah, my head is spinning. Yeah. I feel like I've got a lot of coming to terms to do over the next few months with my own job, which I never would have expected.
Yeah, journalism is going to be interesting. I've read your summary of Amazon. What's the new device called?
The Kindle Scribe.
Kindle Scribe, right? And I was like, well, that's really good. But you probably took a weekend, play with the Scribe, and, you know, wrote a really good article about it. But then I was like, yeah, let me see what AI can say about it. And I fed it in there, and it spat out three paragraphs or five describing Kindle Scribe, knowing nothing about Kindle Scribe. And I was like, oh, you know, it's not as detailed as Todd's and clearly not as good. But if that's another thing, you know, when we're talking about art and the future of AI, I just asked it to basically describe a futuristic product that doesn't exist in its brain, and it came up with a description. And to your question, what can people do with AI? Well, you can go ask it questions that you don't know the answers to, or you want help figuring out some sort of imaginary solution, and it will do it. And it'll be, you know, it'll be hugely inspirational. Like, sure, there's going to be some business solutions, you know, and people will integrate it all over the place in their work, but there's also going to be a lot of fun solutions. And I think if you're an artist, or maybe like terrible artist like me, where you like think of yourself as an artist, but you actually like can't draw. My art skills end with code. This is where it's really exciting, because you can just talk to a computer and it will draw for you.
You're very clear on this site. It says very fake news, and it says it's generated by AI. So you're transparent about the fact that these are not actual news stories to the ethics question. But I do want to ask you one last thing here. Uh-huh. For other entrepreneurs, for other people who are unemployable, as you might say, where would you start for inspiration, for practical ways to make progress and to create value with these kinds of tools right now?
Ooh, yeah. I think this is going to sound horrible, but forgot who said that, but they say that, you know, the best artists copy. And I think there's some truth to that, where either you have an inspiration because you want to do something yourself and you're really stoked about it and you're doing that. But if you don't have something like that, I think it makes perfect sense to look at what other people are doing and try doing that too. It doesn't mean that you'll stick with it. It means you're going to have a starting point. So if somebody is making a blogging plugin to help journalists write faster, do one. You know, doesn't mean you're going to have to sell it, but like just do one so you can practice. And then you can talk to people like Todd, you know, and learn something. And maybe you'll start on a path that will get you somewhere. And at the same time, you might actually do something better. So I'm an engineer by training, so to speak. And, you know, ethics are very high on my list. And I think for a lot of, say, technical people, copying is not something they look at highly. But I think it's a great place to start.
And of course, I would suggest, you know, a domain name generator they might want to start with copying.
Yeah, please do. And I mean, if you come up with great ideas, I'm going to copy you right back. I think if you look at a lot of startup news and advice, a lot of it says, well, do something you're curious about, something you're passionate about, something that doesn't exist. And a lot of that makes sense if you want to create like a $1 trillion company once in a generation. A lot of the advice about following your passion and doing something ridiculous and crazy comes from people who are already rich. If you ask people who kind of fought hard to get rich, they'll tell you, like, just do something first that will make money. And I think when I was young and unafraid, I was also looking at that, like, you know, kind of Dave McClure used to say this, like, shoot for the moon, land on the roof. and I think right now I'm looking at the other way. It's like, well, you know, first start with the roof, get there, and then you have a shot at the moon. Because if you look at like Elon Musk, right, like he's doing incredible things right now, whether you like not you like him as a person, I think we can all agree he's doing quite a few interesting things. But it was done in steps, right? He first had to sell one company and make $100 million, then invest $100 million. It's really hard to have started SpaceX if you had $0. That's why I'm recommending that maybe new entrepreneurs consider what paths lie ahead, and not everybody needs to do $1 trillion company from start, because the odds of you succeeding are very low. But if you start the other way and you make some money first, then you might probably increase your odds.
This is awesome. I really appreciate taking the time. It's inspiring, really. So thank you for talking with me.
No, it's great chatting with you. You know, I can anytime, really. And this is fun. Like I said, first time in 10 years, I'm just like, wow, this is going to be great. Like, everything is going to be better. I'm personally really stoked.
Kirill Zubovsky is a startup founder and engineer who splits his time between Seattle, Colorado, and his family's Sprinter van. See the show notes for links to Smarty Names and his other projects and websites, and check out the related post on geekwire.com to see how different AI tools summarized this conversation and explained his work. Thanks for listening. Kurt Milton edited this week's show. I'm GeekWire co-founder Todd Bishop. We'll be back next week with a new episode of the GeekWire podcast.